Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the holiday weekend. They have a great special between now and Tuesday. Extra Gold Lager, 30-pack cans, $12.97. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Bob Grove in a few moments, but before Bob, we're going to give you an update on the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Our play-by-play call of the day, a guy considered to be an old friend, Dave Sims, with the call on the Mariners radio network.
The other way, that's going to work. Base hit left field. Harrington touches third. He's going to score. Jay Bruce with a go-ahead RBI. Mariners with an 11-10 lead. Pinch hit RBI, Jay Bruce.
And they won it 11-10 last night. The Mariners were off to a great start. Great start. And offensively, they've got some people that can hit. Now, quick update on the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Steve Engel getting a hold of us. It's going to be May 8th, that Wednesday, at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We'll be out there. My old team will be out there. Looking probably worn and forlorn, realizing that they're going to have to lean on the suit for a couple more shots.
Ooh.
I'll be with my new team, invigorated, ready to go, ready to bury. The good news is, and it's great news, the afternoon flight is now sold out. I mean, right now we have, what, 35 foursomes already signed up?
Yeah, pushing 40. Yeah, terrific.
Now, that means the morning flight's open. So if you'd like to go out there, get your team together, enjoy the morning flight, and then have the afternoon available to you, enjoy it. Because, I mean, I played the morning flight many, many times. That's really great where you sit there and all of a sudden it's noon, 1 o'clock. You're like, oh, we're done. Something nice about that. I enjoy it very much. So sign up. It helps the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA.
Yeah, call Bonnie at the Y, 570-286-5636. Yeah, morning flight, you get there, have some coffee, some donuts, some fruit, grab a banana to, you know, put in the golf bag if you need for a little extra shot of potassium when you get out there on the back nine, and then stop in, get some lunch. And then for folks that'll be there for the afternoon flight, they'll get lunch and head out to the course at 1 and then stop in for dinner and prizes right to wrap up the night. Yeah, it's just an awesome day.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, I played in the same group with the suit the last few years. When you see a little shot of something, he obviously has had a little shot of something based on some of the shots he's hit. All right, so. Is it really this easy? All right.
Since 2012, yes.
It's our eighth year of the show.
Wow.
And it's also our eighth Purdy tournament that we've been involved in.
By the way, speaking of waxing poetic, you'll know the answer to this question. Do you know where you were on this day back in 2012?
On April 19th, 2012?
Yes.
Well, I know April 19 was always an important date in our family because of being Patriots Day. And that's, you know, we always went up to my grandparents' house all the time for Patriots Day because they, you know, they lived in Lexington. April 19, 2012, where was I? I wasn't at Fenway Park because in May 2012, I went to speak to the Penn State Club of Boston. I will guess I was doing the blue-white game, Bill O'Brien's blue-white game, on this day in 2012.
This day in 2012, you were in Rec Hall for the dedication of the broadcast.
That's right.
Yes.
This was 2 days before the blue-white game. Yes. Yes. Ah, yes. Forgot about that.
Yep, for the students' broadcast wing there in Rec Hall. State of the art.
Kale Sanderson. Every time I run into him in Rec Hall, he'll come up to me and goes, "Here to visit your building." He has such a great sense of humor, such a dry sense of humor. I said, "No, I'm just here to admire your championship hardware." Want to come over and just, like, look at it? Wow. So that's what those look like. Okay. Great championship. I mean, right now he's the one coach up there right now. They need to build an additional wing just to house the hardware. Something else. Oh. Hey, you know what? Every time you turn around, every time you think he's had a great year, he turns in a better year.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It is amazing. All right, let's get to now a team that has obviously over the years as a franchise has been really good at garnering championship hardware would be the Pittsburgh Penguins. This wasn't one of those years. They ended up getting swept by the New York Islanders, and Bob Grove joins us. Hello, Bob.
Sounds like fun, though, at times.
It actually is a lot of fun every day, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
Great to hear from you. It was not fun with how the Penguins closed out the season. But it could be worse. You could be Tampa Bay, lose 16 games in 7 months, and then lose 4 games in a week. Amazing.
Yeah, wasn't that just incredible?
This has actually been an incredible Stanley Cup to this point. Mm-hmm. Very little has gone according to Hoyle. Why?
Yeah, I don't know the why this year it's so pronounced, but I would say that this is why hockey fans, this is one of the reasons why they love the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this is one of the reasons why players say for 6 months, just get in.
Yes, get right? to the tournament.
It is. Just get in and see what happens. Calgary, the best team in the West, shockingly down in their series. You just hit on the Penguins and the Lightning getting swept. I mean, it's really kind of hard to make sense of everything that's happening in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that is the absolute thrill of it and one of the things that makes it such an incredible tournament, if you will.
I don't care what sport it is. Matchups mean a lot. You really have to sit down and look at matchups. I mean, why can team A beat B, B beat C? So the assumption is A will beat C, but that, nope, C can beat A because right. they match up better. What was it about the Islanders' matchup that did not work for Pittsburgh?
Well, you had the best defensive team in the league in the Islanders and one of the best offensive teams in the league of the Penguins. So it was, in that sense, it was a classic matchup of great defense versus great offense. But quite frankly, it's been a long, long time since I have seen a team throw a blanket over the Penguins like the Islanders did.
Yeah.
They made the Penguins play a lot of that series in their own end. They were with the Penguins everywhere they went on the ice. They gave them very, very few opportunities. Like Robin Leonard was very good, but he wasn't spectacular. He didn't need to be.
Right.
I mean, the Islanders, they got in passing lanes, they got in shooting lanes, they supported each other with the puck and without the puck. And when they got on that forecheck that I mentioned, that forecheck that kept the Penguins bottled up so much, everywhere the Penguins turned, there was another Islander. It is very, very hard, Steve, to play like that. Right. And the Islanders did it textbook for 4 games.
When you have to work so hard just to get the puck out of your end, just to get to the other blue line, when you have to work that hard, you're almost out of gas by the time you have a chance to take a shot against a team that's already an umbrella to begin with.
Well, right, and that's exactly literally what you saw many times in this series was the Crosby line getting it out and then going for a line change. And so that right there kind of sums up the series. And, you know, Cizikas' line played against them, you know, both games on Long Island and a bit in Pittsburgh when they could get that matchup. And that was kind of an example to the extreme of how the Islanders did it. So, yeah, it just absolutely saps you. And the determination they played with. And that's what really, you know, what's coming out of this, Steve, is, you know, all the talk since the series ended. And you had both Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang saying right after the game that they felt the Islanders wanted to win more than the Penguins. And that is really a shocking thing to say. And then, you know, Jim Rutherford followed it up yesterday by saying this team never, for him, really ever came together as a team from day one this season. And then he wondered aloud whether some of the players were a little too content with what they've achieved in their career. So it's been a really, really interesting week for the Penguins.
Which now will bring up where to from here. Do you pick a core group and build around them? Or is the door open to big changes? So, you know, if you're sitting there and you're talking with Jim Rutherford, what is your feel as to what they need? Do they need extensive tweaking or wholesale changes?
Well, I think they need something that's a little bigger scale changes. They're not going to rip up the whole team. It's not going to be, you know, a makeover of, you know, five or six players are gone or like that. But they also, it needs to be more than a tweak. So where I'm coming from, then after the, you know, after this was all done, talked about, while there was so much talk about the Penguins scoring only six goals, which, by the way, is the second fewest goals they've ever scored in a seven-game series in their history, just six goals. He said it wasn't really about that for him. It was about the defensive mistakes they made and how the Islanders pounced on everyone to get a goal, and you got to be better. It isn't always about the goals, he said. It's about the defense. So if the Penguins are going to be – if they're going to take a step back from trying to push the play and just score a ton of goals and get a little better structure defensively, you've got to look at how are you going to do that. You're probably going to have to – who's marketable on your team? I think Olli Maatta is an obvious choice because here he is at the age of 24, a healthy scratch for three playoff games. That's not where you're supposed to be when you're 24 and you have two Stanley Cup rings. So I would assume that they will, and he will have value in the trade market. And I have said that if you're going to look at who's marketable and who could help create some space for you on the salary cap and give you a return that maybe points you a little bit to being a more defensive club, I still say that's Phil Kessel. So it's not going to be Malkin, and there's some talk about Letang, but, you know, he has a limited no-trade clause.
Right.
I think they might think a little about it, but I kind of think probably not.
How do you view Murray in the goalkeeping?
Well, this really wasn't much of a reflection on him. I thought he was.
I agree with that, but, you know, I'm just thinking long term here.
Yeah, no, I'm good with him. I really do. I mean, if you look at his numbers, given the way he started the season, which was so bad.
Yeah.
He got back in mid-December, and he was at times really good, especially later in the season. So I think he's absolutely fine. He's, you know, he's got 1 year left on his contract, and so that makes him eligible for an extension beginning this summer. There seems to be some indication, though, the Penguins may wait. They may not sign him this summer. They just may let it play out and then sign him at some point next year. So, but I have no doubt that he's the guy they need to, you know, who needs to be the goaltender as you build to try and get back to where you are.
It's easy to panic. I mean, he just got swept in four straight games after being 2 years removed from back-to-back Stanley Cups. So the populace will panic. I think it sort of goes back to what I was talking about, what needs to be done here. But is panic warranted because of what happened here?
No, you can't ever approach it that way. You have to think through it.
Totally agree with you.
So. And as Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan know, one of the ways you do that is you take a step back and you let the emotions go for a few weeks.
Right.
And then you just start to analyze it, you know, just legitimately. Just take a look. And the things they have to get at is this question that Rutherford put out, that they weren't a team and that there some guys might be too content. If that's really – that obviously is a true statement because you had two players say it after the game, and then
right.
he says it a couple of days later. So how do you – you got to figure out if that's really true. That's troubling for me, Steve. That's very troubling, and
yeah.
you need to find out who that is, and you need to get them gone. You're not motivated, then I can't even get to where you're failing on the X's and O's. You got to get the guys who want to win first.
And that is – you're right, the single most disturbing part of it. And – in some ways, I was going to ask you what, you know, it seemed like something was missing all season, and it sounds like that was part of it. I mean, if you have a couple of guys, one or two guys, that can wreck an entire locker room that are fat and sassy.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And so then the question you start to ask yourself is how much of this fueled all the inconsistency that you saw this season? You know, like Brian Russ got going later in the season, and he was really, really good, and he got off to a terrible start. Phil Kessel, the worst slump of his career basically the entire second half of the season. Evgeny Malkin, for me, probably the worst productive, the least productive season he ever had in a Pittsburgh uniform. So you've got all these guys up and down, up and down. Chris Letang, fantastic regular season, just train wreck of a playoff series. It's really hard to figure these guys out often, and so what you're saying and what I'm talking about could be one of the factors sort of underneath the surface that you got to dig down into.
Which I want to get to Crosby. Crosby had a great season.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good season. He had a great season.
Yeah, one of his best.
Yeah, and so if you're going to say, gee, you know, how did the big guy do? Well, the big guy was great all year. I want to ask you about his personality. Some guys, you know, Messier, perfect example. Great player who also had a very strong personality. I don't know Sidney Crosby at all, Bob. You do. Is he the kind of guy that has that strong personality?
He has an incredible love of the game and an incredible work ethic, an incredible desire to be every bit the best player he can ever be, and he never stops working. If there's any guy, and there's a few in the National Hockey League today, who could sit back in the summer and say, you know, maybe I won't work out today because, I mean, no, I've done pretty well, right?
Wow.
I've accomplished a lot. That's the total opposite of Sidney Crosby, and that's how he delivers the message that, you know, he's never satisfied. He's always trying to get better at something. And that's what rubs off on a lot of guys that have ever played with him. It's not the strong personality of saying a lot of stuff. It's certainly not coming out in the press and saying a lot of stuff. He's very predictable in what he says, right? You know, he can be absolutely boring at times, and I personally don't mind that at all.
Right.
So that's the thing about him is that he's getting older, and he's still finding ways to absolutely amaze you, and that's what he did this season. He carried this team for much of the season,
no doubt.
To be honest with you.
No doubt. Jim Rutherford has been down this road before. He knows how to build Stanley Cup champions, did so at Carolina, and now, of course, with Pittsburgh, which means you have to have the ability, and not every move you make is going to be perfect. We all know that, but he's usually found the right formula. How baffling do you think it was for him that no matter what he tried, he couldn't find the pieces that fit with this particular team?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, it was disconcerting for him to have to make as many moves as he did. But some of the moves that he's made, I mean, look, you can go back these long string of trades that he's made since he's gotten here, right? Some of them have been fantastic.
Yep.
And some of them have been, you know, like the Brassard deal and everything that led up to it, a disaster. You know,
right.
Going out to get Ryan Reeves was the sort of the beginning that was not good. You know, you had to trade Ian Cole, and Cole didn't get along with Sullivan. That was a trade I don't think he wanted to make. But at some point, Steve, you also have to ask this question is, when you're constantly changing parts like this,
yes.
Every team makes moves. They sign free agents. They lose right. guys. They make trades. But he, boy, he does a lot of tinkering. And some of this has been stuff that he goes out and does when he perceives they're getting pushed around or it's motivated by something that just happened to his team. So I think there's some time when you sort of say enough is enough. I don't know if that was this year. You get a lot of that with Sullivan and the way he changes his lines constantly. I overdone. So he's got to be frustrated, Rutherford. And he's got a lot to think about because when he leaves, whenever he leaves the team, he wants to win another Stanley Cup with them. So he's trying to build that, but he can't He can't leave the cupboard bare. You had Wilkes-Barre Scranton miss the playoffs for the first time in the American League in, 17, 18 years?
Yes.
You can't leave the cupboard bare. And here's the other thing. As you're trying to rebuild, you have to right now prepare for the Seattle expansion draft, which is summer. It's two summers away yet.
Yep.
But you have to position yourself so that you're not backed into a corner and losing somebody you don't want to lose.
Right. And Vegas put together a model that Seattle's going to follow to a T. And now I want to ask you about Steve Yzerman. He did some really good work with Tampa Bay running the show there. He's back home in Detroit where he gets to run the show there.
Yep.
Now, not every great player is a great GM, but then there's Jerry West, who is a great player and has been a great, whenever he's been in that position. What kind of guy is Yzerman as a GM, and what kind of impact could he have with Detroit going back there?
Well, look, he's basically going home, is he not? Right.
Right. So exactly.
And this was a move, let's face it, this was a move that people have been talking about for several years, even before he said, I'm taking a break here in Tampa Bay for personal reasons and spend time with his family and all
right.
that stuff. And so this shocked nobody. And, he's a guy, I think, who's he seems to me to be a guy who can strip out the emotion of a thing and just look at it objectively. And he's really relies, as some great players are able to do, rely on the experience, rely on everything he learned in Detroit. And that's, joining a team that had nothing, getting good, and then having big letdowns and upsets that they suffered in the playoffs, and then going and winning a bunch of Stanley Cups as well. I mean, he's literally seen it all.
Right.
And so he's going to rely on all of that experience. And, and he obviously still knows these players that he's got in Detroit. And they finished this season pretty strongly. So there'll be a lot of there'll be a really positive feeling coming out of this.
I hope you don't mind. Well, I think what I'd like is the Stanley Cup moves along. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll talk about some other teams and what they're doing.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that.
That'd be great. Yeah, I look forward to that very much because I'm watching Winnipeg and St. Louis last night. Yeah, 2-0 lead at home. They're all going crazy, and then St. Louis scores with, 17 seconds to go?
Yeah, and that's actually – that was my playoff upset pick was the Blues over Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So I'm loving that. I'm not going to talk about other picks I made.
Let me put you this way. If the road team has won every game in that series.
Yeah, yeah. Home ice advantage, Steve. It's one of the most overrated things in my experience through it.
I worked so hard to get to this point, to get home ice, and you can't win a game.
Yep.
All right, Bob, always a pleasure. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Thank you so much.
You too, Steve. Thanks.
Bob Grove, always great to hear from him. The King next half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. So one quick transfer note from other schools, and this is in basketball or draft news, actually. Cassius Winston has announced, the Big Ten Player of the Year, that he's coming back for his senior season. But Nick Ward says he'll sign with an agent and enter the NBA draft. Ward, of course, the primary inside presence, along with Xavier Tillman. So Ward looks like he's gone, but Winston is coming back. With that, we bring back the King. I don't know which studio he's in today, but do we know?
We do.
There he is.
We were busy talking about gambling.
I can't. I'm shocked at that.
Well, you say
I don't gamble. I play a game online. That's not, you know.
I know you play slots there, and I was just telling King it's going to be coming up here in mid-July. Online gambling with poker and slots will be legal middle of summer.
They'll help the guy in digital media because he's been doing it illegally for years. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's just such big money. It's a glasses half full, half empty, you know, because it's not good for some people. People lose their homes, you know, but it's big, big money revenue for the states. In Connecticut, the state because they're Indian casinos, they don't have to claim their tables at all. It's a deal that they made with the state. So the state really has no idea how much money they're bringing in off the tables. But the state gets, I believe, 30 to 40% of the slot revenue right off the top. And 30 to 40% of a lot of money is a lot of money. And they get it monthly. Now, in the beginning, between the two casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan, the state was bringing in almost $100 million a month. Now that they got more competition, that's been cut down. But it's big, big money. Good for some people, not good for others.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania casinos set a single-month revenue gaming record for the month of March. The revenue was $309 million plus.
Yeah. It's... You can't deny the amount of money it brings in.
No, you can't. And I always want you to remember these two words that are critical to anybody that wants to gamble a lot. The house. I just named for you the primary winner. All right, so the house.
True.
The house. Almost always wins.
Actually,
I always tell people, like Uncle Mike used to gamble a lot, you only hear about when they win. You never hear, I went to the casino this weekend and lost $3,000, you know. If they won $3,000, they brag about it. If they lose it, you never hear about it. So,
and actually,
you only hear when people win.
And actually, earlier this week, there was also a story, the first five truck stops approved for video slots play in Pennsylvania was announced. And there's a... Yeah, there's a couple in central PA, not probably stone throw away off of I-80.
Really?
Yeah. They approved their first batch of licenses permitting truck stops to offer video gambling to their patrons. Spread throughout central and western PA, four sit along the I-80 corridor in Emlenton, which is off Interstate 80 as you're going west, other side of Clarion. Snowshoe, Center County, Loganton, Clinton County, and McElhattan, and there's a fifth. It's going to be located near Loretto down Route 22 in Cambria County.
Wow. That's absolutely fascinating. Well, look what they did here in Connecticut. You don't really know the lay of the land, Sean, the way like Steve and I do, but you had the two casinos, which are famous cross-country, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. And they put a casino in Rhode Island. I forget the name of it. That put a dent in it. Then Massachusetts started opening up casinos everywhere. Then MGM used to be with Foxwoods on their grounds, and MGM turned around and went to Springfield, Massachusetts, and opened up a casino there, which is only about 12 miles from here. Well, that blew Fox was the Mohegan Sun away. So they turned around, and now their building is now past everything. They're actually building the casino now 4 miles from here, that it's between Mohegan Sun in Uncasville and Springfield, so that they can take the revenue away from Springfield and bring it back to it's a casino war here. It's unbelievable. And I'm only happy about it because I'm going to bring business cards down there to get some work from them. But I made the original Mohegan Suns. I made them here. So
yeah, the online sports betting sites here in Pennsylvania. We're probably about 2 or 3 weeks away from that. And looks like probably mid-July, right around in there or so, will be internet gambling will follow suit.
Right. Wow. This is it's amazing because what Foxwood and Mohegan Sun did is it put a gigantic dent into Atlantic City.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, Atlantic City, if you're wondering why Atlantic City is only built up around the Strip, is because the money wasn't going to Atlantic City, the money was going to the state. That's the only reason why it was put up to begin with. And then, of course, New Jersey was the one that took to court and challenged about the state gambling laws. Same story, because they want the money to go to the state. They're trying to figure out all sorts of ways to pay for everything that they get. Okay, gambling is a way, in their opinion, to do it. And so far, there's been a success to it. But, you know, as you know, there's never enough money for anything they want to do. And they're going to have to come up with another scheme somewhere else. They'll pay for other things that they haven't been able to pay for. But the sports book part, again, when Pennsylvania put in, what, 7 racetracks at one point, Sean? That was the initial 7 racetracks put in games.
And yeah, we're up to about seven. Or eight now. There's a cluster in Philadelphia. There's a sport book actually right across the street from Citizens
Bank
Park.
I'm not talking about sports book.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about sports book yet. I'm talking about just when Governor Rendell put it in. How many years ago he did that?
Oh, like with
that
Penn National.
It was Penn National. It was Parks. It was Rivers. You know, all these casinos at racetracks. Well, that put another gigantic dent into Atlantic City. Now, the sportsbook part, Atlantic City, you know, and New Jersey with Monmouth Park and Atlantic City, they get into sportsbook. Pennsylvania got it quickly. And again, that puts another dent into New Jersey and Atlantic City. So all the competition has done is just giving people more outlets to go to instead of a centralized location where they could, you know, where in the past Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods were cleaning up in southeastern Connecticut, but now Rhode Island and Massachusetts have started to catch up.
Oh, they caught up. They caught up big time. The one in Rhode Island's been there for a while. That rib, Foxwoods and Mohegan would get all the people from Rhode Island because they were very, very close to it, maybe 10 miles off the line.
Right, exactly.
And then they opened up, God, I forget the name of it, a nice casino. But they put that up, and, you know, obviously Foxwoods and Mohegan got friggin' hammered by that. But they're much bigger than that now, but you haven't seen it in a while, but Mohegan, it's just, they've got their own Coliseum, they've got their own, and
I've done three games in that Coliseum.
Huge. Huh?
I said I've done 3 games in that Coliseum.
Well, no, I realize that, but I'm saying it's more than just a casino.
It's
an enormous complex. They've added on. To the Coliseum, big convention center. Centers, plural. You know that it's just an enormous complex now, and the same with Foxwoods. Foxwoods is just enormous because they had MGM there, and MGM put the screws to them and took off, and now they have all of what MGM had down there. These casinos in Connecticut are huge, absolutely huge.
Well,
they'll
I
be
mean,
okay.
Parks down here, huge.
I mean, they're just very well run. Very well run. And the security is second to none. Did they ever tell you what happened to me down there?
No, but I'm sure you're about to.
Well, I'm sitting there one night, right? And I went there late one night. I had nothing to do. I wasn't married, and I had no girlfriend, no nothing. And I'm sitting at a machine, and I'm playing. And I moved over about three, four machines and tried a different one because that one wasn't winning. And an attendant came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Mr. Jones, you need to come with me." I'm like, "Holy crap, you know, it's midnight, and who are you?" You know, and how do you know my name? But then I dawns on me, I put my little wampum card in the machine. So right. I said, "What's the problem?" And she says, "Security has your wallet." Now, that's never a good thing if you're in a casino and you don't have your wallet. So I go with her to security, and they looked up the license and said, "Yeah, that's you." And I said, "Is the money gone?" And they said, "How much did you have in here?" I said, three $100 bills. They said, "It's gone." They said, "Do you want to press charges?" And I said, "Well, I said, the likelihood you're going to catch the person who did it is slim to none, and I will, if you catch them and they give the money back, no. If they spent the money, then yes." So I didn't have any more money, obviously, so I went home. And 2 days later, I get a phone call. "Mr. Jones, we meant to call you yesterday." I said, "Yeah." "This is security at Mohegan Sun. We got your $300. I said, "What?" He goes, "Well, we have cameras everywhere." And I was in the wolf den. And in the wolf den, there's a great big wolf that's got cameras in his head and his tail. And so he said, "When you moved over from one machine to the other, your wallet fell out of your pocket. And this guy came walking behind you and picked your wallet up and went in the bathroom. He got in the bathroom, he emptied the wallet, he came back, and he dropped it right back where you dropped it and kept on going." I said, "Wow." He said, "Yeah, we were able to get a timeline and follow it." And he said, "He used his card in his machine, so we got his name, but he had just left. His name was on a bus manifest. So Mohegan Sun contacted the Connecticut State Police, and the police pulled them over on Route 95, pulled the bus over and got the guy and got the money from the, he admitted taking the money, and he gave the $300 back." I was fascinated by how they worked really hard to get the money back. You know, they didn't have to, you know. And that's why I think casinos are the safest places around, because the security is excellent. So, anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Right. How about Tiger Woods?
You ever see the movie? Yeah, wow, that greatest physical, emotional, and PR comeback, public relations comeback I've ever seen.
Yeah, I watched all of it, and I was just, his focus was just so, like, if you're the other players, you're just like, oh my God. I heard an interview with, what's his name, Finau?
Yeah.
The one he was playing with, one of the three.
Tony Finau, yeah.
Yeah, and he was just like, I learned so much from him that day, that he just was patient. He didn't push a thing. He was patient, and he said, that's what I took from it, that if I want to be on his level, I have to be patient. He was fascinated. I was just fascinated.
You know what's interesting,
by the
though?
Whole tournament.
Except for 16, to be honest with you, where he hit that awesome shot.
Yeah.
He didn't really hit a lot of awesome shots. He hit a lot of really good, solid professional shots.
Well, you know what it was? It was old Tiger, only kind of not as strong, you know, because he's just had so many surgeries. old Tiger would get in trouble all the time, but he would come up with a shot to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
And he never let himself have a bad hole. Even if he hit a bad tee shot, he found a way to get himself back upright again. It never, his bad tee shots never hurt him.
See, at Augusta National, there are places that you can miss and allow recovery.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods had the ability, especially in the third and fourth rounds, that when he missed, he was missing in a spot where recovery was possible.
Right.
And that's because that's how he was playing to that side anyway. Because he understood that if I hit it right, I'm in great shape, but if I miss, I can still do something, as opposed to trying something else that puts him on the bad side. And that's what he did. He alluded to that, too. All right. Yeah, you've got to do that.
That's right. You know, miss correctly. You're going to miss miss over there, you know.
So that's what I've been doing wrong.
One of the greatest sporting events I've ever seen. I mean, he's made his mistakes in his life.
Yep.
But boy, oh boy. That comeback of the year, comeback of the century, those surgeries he had, there's not many people who would have come back.
No way.
It's not about money. It's not, you know, it's not about money, not about anything. It's just about pride.
We've tried to tell the suit that. We've tried. It's not about money, it's about pride. And Sean and I both know he checked that in at the door years ago. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody.
You too. Bye, guys.
See ya. Till Monday.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.